Ark building in the 21st century, the Hall of Faith, Noah. We see Noah makes it, you know, to the Hall of Faith. If you get in, and if you get in Hebrews chapter 11, you're a pretty honking good dude. I mean, that's how they, I mean, really the big guys got in Hebrews chapter 11. Noah was one of the guys that got in there. Now, last week we began a series called Ark Building in the 21st Century. And it's going to take a lot of stages, but the basic thing that we're talking about is that Jesus is coming soon. Did anybody know that? Jesus is coming soon, and we have to get busy. We have to get ready. Now, we're going to talk about this today, about what it means, but let's look at this passage of Scripture first, just to kind of get it out here on the table. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Should be up on the screen for you. Maybe you'll open your Bible to it. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat, an ark, to save his family from the flood. Listen to this now. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Remember that, because we're going to come back to it. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, that's a powerful passage of Scripture, and we're going to discuss that today. We're going to kind of dissect that down and look at it about our life. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about how Noah built this big boat in the middle of a desert, and that wasn't an easy thing to do, believe me. He had a vision for what God wanted to do. We have, I don't want to embarrass her, but we have a lady here today who got to our website somehow and listened to the sermon from last week and said, "Man, I need to hear more about that." So she came today, and I'm really proud. Thank you for coming today. I don't normally do that, but I was just so excited about it. It is exciting to me, and I hope people who are not here today, will you'll encourage them, if the sermon's good, that you'll encourage them to get to the website and listen to the sermon, because I believe this is a key to the life of New Beginning Church. In fact, as I look at New Beginning Church, I see a lot of healthy things happening. We had a great weekend this weekend, and we had so many of our couples there, and God really moved on Friday night, and I preached something I've never preached before about marriage from the book of Genesis, the creation story. And I was just very pleased with how God orchestrated our time together. He really came among us and blessed some marriages, really touched them as we talked about having a covenant marriage. And then Saturday, you know, Stephen Clinton taught the 18 to 35 year olds. They had a couple of sessions with them. One was together, one of them was split up, and I got all the rest of the adults, and we went to a different room, and we talked about communication. We talked about great expectations, how to deal with the expectations of your marriage. And so it was really good. And then we had these two meals that were just, I don't know, they were really good. I mean, we picked out the menu, but these people really, I mean, the food was good. I thought it was good. Anybody like it? Yeah, I thought it was really good. And the meeting places were really nice. And so we really had a good time. And I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about young couples who are making choices in their marriages and in their relationships to do it God's way. It's very, very important to me. I have five weddings in the next 3 months, and I'm excited about that and excited about the possibilities of touching young couples' lives as they begin to make their decisions to walk in God's way. I'm very excited about it. Now, I'm going to admit to you today that in years past, when we had a Sunday like this, where a number of people are gone, I'd get a little bit discouraged. And honestly, might be taking a little personal and have a little pity party, at least in the prayer room before I came out. And, you know, I didn't like it when people missed church, and I still don't. But the truth of the matter is that I saw a vision of what New Beginning needs to be about. And I thought about this marathon that John was running in, and I think, is Mary Beth running in it? Yeah, she's running in it, and I don't know who else, but there's several who are running in it, and it's a really cool thing. I couldn't obviously do it. I can't run from here to that door, but that, you know, a marathon is pretty amazing. I mean, what, 26 point, what? The last time I heard, and I asked Cindy to keep me up to date, I think he passed mile 18, but that was a couple hours ago, so he's going along. I haven't heard about Mary Beth and others, but there's a bunch of people out there helping them, rooting them on. And I thought to myself, you know, what a missed opportunity. Because not only do we have people out there running that we need to be supportive of, but what an opportunity for an outreach. To reach out to a city who's in need. You know, we have this Memorial Marathon because some guy packed a truck full of manure and took it down to in front of the Murrah building and fused it up and blew up a building and killed 168 people. That's pretty bad news, isn't it? But how many of you know that even in disaster, God can turn it around and give us an opportunity to reach out to our city? And I'm thinking about next year, we just all go and reach out to a city. How about Sunday morning? We just go reach out to a city. See, I think we need to look at things a little differently. And, you know, people are going to go on family vacations and all that. We're not going to go on all your vacations with you, so don't worry. But the truth is that we need to begin to look at ways that we can reach out. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is coming. He is. He's coming. And God is going to help us. And what he said to Noah was he said, look, it said he obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. We need to start looking at church from a whole different perspective. Now, I love what we do. I love our worship. I love preaching and teaching, sharing the Word of God. Even though I'm nervous doing it, I like doing it. I enjoy doing it. It's very encouraging to see people's lives change and all that. But there's something that we've got to get serious about, and that is a world going to hell, and we need to reach out and touch them. Now, I'm not talking about every Sunday, I'm not talking about every time, but I'm talking about on an ongoing basis, us finding ways, creative ways, to warn our world that Jesus is coming, but do it in a loving, gracious way. Now, we have a whole slew of people out there right outside these doors, right out here in this city, who don't know Jesus Christ. And if Jesus was to come right now, not because God would do it, but because they made the choice, they'll spend eternity in a place called hell. That's serious. And God's going to do things in this last days that he's never done before his coming. We can either be a part of it, or we can sit in our own pew and stinketh. Because he who sits in his own pew stinketh. Right? So we've got to find creative ways. So when you're going to participate in something, when you're going to be a part of something, what we need to do is start looking for creative ways for the church to reach out and be a part of that. I can't think of anything more powerful than standing out, especially on a warm day. Today, you know, it's kind of windy and I guess cloudy out there, but on a real warm day, I can't think of anything more powerful than walking along people, not just people running, but people in the crowd, and walk up and hand them a bottle of water. Say in Jesus' name, here's a bottle of water. Have a refreshment. You know, you don't have to say a lot of stuff. All they need to know is that Jesus loves them. I mean, what an opportunity. We are missing opportunities because we are looking at church too much like a tradition. And we need to say, look, all bets are off. We need to look for new ways to reach our city for Jesus Christ. And not use our city to fill our building up. We don't need to be using our city. We need to go to our city. Amen. And so God is going to give us ways to do that. I believe that in the months to come, God is going to give us creative ways to learn how to reach our city by serving it, reaching out to it. And rather than saying, you have to come here and do it our way, we're going to come to where you are and bring Jesus to you. How about that? That sound like a right thing to do? Now, I don't think God makes any mistakes, do you? And I don't think he does anything by mistake. And I believe that you're here today, each one of you, because God planned for you to be sitting right here. Now you say, does that mean we don't have a will? Yeah, you have a will. You can do whatever you want to. But I believe you're here today because God knew you were going to be here today. And he knew that he wanted to say something, speak something into your life that'll change you. It'll change your heart. Now here's the problem. We have to position ourselves to say, okay, God, whatever you want to speak to me by faith, I'm going to receive it and try to put it into my lifestyle, into the way that I live. It's a choice that we make. We can sit here and go to sleep or just sit here and stare at me. But if you really want to learn and grow and become what Jesus wants you to be, get your little piece of paper out and a pen and write it down. The three most practical words in the English language are, write it down. It's very important for you to write it down. Even if you don't take it home, there's something powerful about your eyes, your vision, and your hand working together. That's why teachers are having always have you take notes and do all that stuff. It's because there's something creative about the way God speaks to us through our eyes when we write. And so we need to write it down. I believe this, that when I speak, I believe that not only am I speaking to you as your pastor who wants a caregiver for you and wants you to learn and grow in some areas of your life, but I believe the God of the universe is speaking by the power of the Spirit into your heart. And I know that happens because people come up to me after services sometimes and they'll say, "Pastor Ron, it was so cool when you said such and such, and I know I didn't say it." And I go, "Well, thank you. I'm glad the Holy Spirit spoke that to you because I didn't say it." But, you know, the truth is that He's speaking. He's doing His work even while I'm standing here speaking. He's speaking to you. He can if you'll open your heart. You may say, "I've never heard the voice of God." Let me just tell you what the voice of God sounds like. It sounds a whole lot like your voice. You're not going to hear this, "This is God. Do what I say." You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's like God just speaks into your heart. It sounds a whole lot like who you are. It sounds like your voice. When God speaks to me, it's very clear. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to question, but I've been listening to Him a long time. And I'm going to tell you what I do. If I'm driving down the street and God speaks to me, I pull over and write it down. It's not because I'm old and I might forget. It's because it's important to write it down. Now, I have a little recorder that I carry with me, and sometimes I speak it into the recorder, and then when I get to someplace that's safe, I pull over, and what I do, I write it down. The reason why we give that little note thing out to you is not to have some other piece of colorful paper in your hand. It's to remind you to write it down. So get your paper, get your pen, and write it down today. Let me say that today, we'll learn some things about God's plan for this church and our ministry here at New Beginning. Jesus really is coming soon, and we must see ourselves as people who are serving in such a way that we too, with Noah, could be a part of the Hall of Fame. Point number one, by faith, Noah built. You will fill in the words faith and built. By faith, Noah built. Now look at that with me for a minute. As we look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that, it's going to make this little statement about Noah. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, the days before Jesus' coming are going to be like the days of Noah. So last week, we talked about what the days of Noah were like. We'll talk about that some more later in the series. But we're looking at the days. Well, if you look at the days of Noah and the days of now, and you read the newspaper that I read, you'll find out that much of the same things are happening. And the essence was that people just keep on doing what they're doing no matter what they hear. The world has become dull of hearing. But the reason why Jesus has not come yet is because He's patient with us. He's patient, the Bible says. He's patient. He's waiting for us to make the right choices and the right decisions. Let me just tell you something. If you haven't made the right decision to follow God, to give your life completely to Him, you're holding up the game. Would you do that today so that we can have Jesus come soon? Amen. He's waiting patiently for you. We have a loving, caring God. Would that none would perish, but all would come to eternal life. I loved it a few weeks ago, sitting in the office with Lindsay and Brian, and they gave their heart to Jesus Christ. What a powerful moment that was as we prayed together that Jesus come into their life, and now they're reading the Word of God together and learning how to pray together. That's what Jesus is doing in this day. And I'm so excited about the opportunity to be a part of that and invest in their life. God wants us to, as a family, invest in their life and in others because that's what this is about. Noah built. By faith, Noah built. Now, what a powerful statement that is. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, Noah is building a great big boat, traditionally called an ark, in the middle of nowhere. He's got some kind of blueprint in his mind that he's supposed to build. It's got to hold a whole bunch of animals, his family, And it's got to be in such a way that it's comfortable enough for them to be on there a while. Because as you'll see in the series, they're on there a while. How many know we need to make right decisions and choices today, but this is a life that we've got to live out. It takes us a while to live it out. We'll find that out in this series. God is going to help us realize that we've got to stay true and faithful over time. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, Pastor Ron, would you pray for me about this? And I pray for them, and it doesn't happen in that every time in that exact moment. And then they wonder, why in the world is God, what's going to happen? We've got to make decisions, pray, and then believe over time, and God does it. Some things God does instantly. I've seen many of those things, and I love it when He does that. I love that. I mean, it's like being in a candy store for me. When I pray for somebody that's sick and God heals them, I was like, whoa. And, I've seen a lot of people healed, miraculously healed, touched. And I can tell you story after story, both here in this country and around the world, where God has just taken somebody who was sick and had no hearing or no eyesight or had a limbs that were messed up or whatever, and God healed them instantly. I believe God still does that today. But there are some things God does over time. And it says, by faith Noah built. He built for about 100 years on a boat, telling people it was going to do something it had never done before. Rain. Now, can you imagine what people must have thought of this guy? He's over here building this ark, putting this pieces of wood together. He didn't have no chainsaws. He didn't have any skill saws, no chop saws, nothing. He's over there cutting, fitting those pieces in there, sticking pitch in there that's like tar, getting it to fit just right and have no gaps, because guess what you don't want the ark to do? Leak. Right? I mean, it's going to flood the earth. You don't want that thing leaking. You're going to be in it a while. They were in it a while. We're going to do a sermon here not too long from now, a couple weeks from now, called Are We There Yet? And when we get to that sermon, you're going to see what I'm talking about. You don't want the ark leaking, because you're going to be there a while, so you want to get it right. You want to build it right. How many of you know that you don't want to mess up on the building? But by faith, Noah built, no matter what he saw, no matter what people said about him, no matter what went on in his life, he kept building. Noah built by faith. And you have to build upon concept upon concept. The Bible calls it precept upon precept. We need to build one thing of our faith and our life on the other things of the foundation of Jesus as our Savior. And we begin to learn the things of God and how God works as we get in God's Word, and we begin to develop over time. And just like Noah built the ark over time, we need to let God build our life over time. You can't expect to know everything right this minute that I know in my walk of faith, because I've been walking in the faith a pretty long time. But there are people that know a lot more than me who've been walking in the faith a lot longer than I have. But if you're a newer Christian, if you're a newer believer, don't get freaked out. Just start building one thought, one truth upon another, letting God put it together in your heart, in your mind. By faith, Noah built. And by faith, we have to build our life like that. We have to be willing to let God, one thought upon thought, precept upon precept, concept upon concept, as we learn it and begin to develop it in our life. And we're building the life that's ready for the coming of the Savior. How many of you know that when Jesus comes through those eastern sky and He breaks those clouds wide open and we see Him like He really is, we want to be ready to see Him. Here's the good news. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is I've been walking with Jesus since I was 6 years old. I'm 52, so how many years is that? How many? 46? That's a long time. 46 years. This October will be 47 since I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pretty amazing. And I want to be ready for the Savior to come. And I've been walking this walk and talking this talk all my life. It's all I know. I don't know any other way. I have no other way to live. I don't know any other way. You can tell me all you want to about sin, but I just don't participate in a whole lot of sin, so I don't know a lot about people. People teased me last week. Caleb's sitting back here, standing back here. And I said, Caleb, to Kramer. He's not here today. He's out there at the marathon, I think. I said, Caleb Kramer, do you know Lindsay? Now, that was as innocent it could possibly be. People come up to him afterwards and says, he's trying to hook you up. No, Brian is her fiancé. I wanted Caleb to know Brian because Brian lived in Italy and Caleb's going to Italy. Now, as innocent as I could be, so get your mind out of the gutter, would you? I'm not trying to hook people up. I'm not going to hook anybody up from the front of the church. Give me a break. Especially when I know that I'm doing premarital counseling with them. They're getting married May 23rd, for heaven's sakes. Think about it a little bit, all right? I'm not hooking people up. I never even thought about it, to be honest with you. I got people coming up teasing me. I said, get your mind out of the way. You know, sometimes it can be innocent. It can be innocent. I just want Caleb Kramer to know Brian because Brian was on a retreat last weekend. And I wanted him to know Brian because Brian's been to Italy and he's going to Italy by himself for, I don't know, a month or something. And I thought, well, maybe he could give him a little bit of tips here, you know. If you thought that, you need to get down here and repent right now. If you thought your pastor was going to hook somebody up in church, especially when I know she's getting married. Oh, come on. All right. By faith, Noah built. I just don't think that way. And so what I'm saying to you is that if we're going to build line upon line, precept upon precept, concept upon concept, we've got to let God begin to remove the ways of the world from us. When I first started out in the ministry, I was at this church called Christian Assembly. It's in Southern California. And we were in a staff meeting, and it was about this time of the year because we were planning for Pentecost. Now, that church, Steve, was one of the original churches off the Azusa Street Revival. So it was really Pentecost. I mean, it was from the Pentecostal roots. And so what Pastor Don wanted us to do during Pentecost week is he wanted us to spend a lot of time with people because Pentecost, the move of the Spirit, is about people. Okay? So he said, I want you out. I don't want you in your offices. I don't want you in there doing that kind of stuff. I want you out with people. Take kids for ice cream, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he starts naming all this stuff to do. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. It's just one of my first staff meetings on this church, at this church. And Mark, Pastor Don's son, he's now the pastor of the church, Mark Pickerel, he says to his dad, he says, Dad, that's just too much stuff you want us to do. How are we supposed to get all of our stuff done and do all that too? You know, and he's complaining. I'm sitting over there going, yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. And everybody in the staff, you can feel it like this. It's just like this little rumble in the room. Everybody's going, yeah. Pastor Don, I'll never forget. Pastor Don, I'm going to get him here to preach one of these days. He drops his calendar on the floor. You could hear it. It was just a paper, but it just thudded. He dropped his pen on top of it. He looked at Mark, and he said, that's a spirit of the world, and I want you to get it out of you right now. And I'm going, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into? What I learned from that experience was that we need to start thinking bigger than we're thinking. We need to start thinking by faith. Noah was building a big old boat because God said it was going to rain and it was going to flood the earth, and he didn't care what anybody thought. He was building the boat. And that's what we have to do with our lives. We have to not worry about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else thinks, how everybody else is living. We need to build our ark because we've got to last the longest time we can until Jesus comes and takes us home. And the good news is that no matter where you are on the journey, I'm 46 and a half or so years into it. You may be 1 year into it, maybe a few weeks into it, you may be a few years into it. No matter where you are, when he breaks the eastern sky, we'll be just like him, just like that. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't matter where you're at on the journey, but don't linger in your growth. Can you imagine if Noah would have said, okay, well, it's going to flood anyway. God's going to save me. He said he would. So I think I'll take some days off. I don't think I'll put those planks in. Let's just leave a hole right there in the hull of this boat because it doesn't really matter. God's going to save me anyway. You think Noah thought like that? No, by faith Noah built. And he built to last. Let's look at a passage of Scripture together, and I'll get moving here a little faster. Sorry, I'm preaching hard, aren't I? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Good question. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he asked them, who do you say I am? Now look at this with me for a second. First, Jesus asked them, who are other people saying I am? I mean, you know, it's important for us to be in touch with the world we live in and know what they think. Let me just tell you right now that I saw on the internet this week that Jesus has moved in popularity from number one to number two. And there's one person above him. His name is Barack Obama. Let me just tell you, he's number one in my life. But we need to see what the world's saying. We need to see what other people think of this Jesus that we serve. We need to not only that, we need to see what they think about the church that we're a part of. Not just New Beginning, but the church. Let me just tell you, the Church of Jesus isn't that popular anymore in America. And there are just as many people standing outside this building shouting that people like me are full of it as I am standing out here telling you that they're lost and going to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. I'm not judging their heart, I'm just going by the Word. And it's getting more and more that way. You know, I remember the day when I walked into a business in a city, especially a smaller town where I pastored. I could walk into a business and things would stop because the pastor walked in. It's crazy. People no more care whether I'm a pastor now and a man in the moon. They could care less. They don't change anything about the way they talk anymore. Man, you would not believe the stuff I've seen. I've gone over to visit a people's house. They got a window in their door, you know. I'm not an idiot. Knock on the door. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Because the pastor's there. Well, I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to cover stuff up. I just want to see how they live every day. Because how can I help them if I don't know what's going on in their life? You don't need to cover anything for me. But now, if I walk into a place and somebody finds out I'm a pastor, they might cuss me. And I've had them do it. You're one of those people telling people lies. In America. I wasn't in India. That wasn't over in Germany. That wasn't over in Mexico or Canada or any place I've been. It's right here in America. Fortunately, in around the city of Moore, most people know me as Pastor Ron, and there's still a lot of respect. But I'm going to tell you, it's changing. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. And so we've got to find out what people are thinking and saying and try to bring a healing and a bridge to the breach that's been broken in the church and the world. We need to come back to the place where we can reach our world in Jesus' name. So he said, who do people say? And then he says, okay, we got that down. They think I'm John the Baptist. John the Baptist just died, got his head cut off. Brought somebody on a silver platter. So they think he's John the Baptist. Well, that's idiotic because John the Baptist standing on the road saying, there's the guy coming that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. But anyway, whatever, that's what people were saying. And some say, you're Elijah, because see, they were expecting Elijah to come back. That's why at every year when they did the Seder meal that we did this last couple weeks ago on Thursday, when they did the last, you know, that supper at Passover, they always set a cup and a plate for Elijah because they thought Elijah the prophet was going to come back. So some say, you're Elijah, come back. Or Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. That's who people are saying you are. But I love how Jesus turns it and he says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Who am I to you? Who is Jesus to you? By faith, Noah built. And listen to what he says. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, he replied to him, he says, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. How many of you know you do not get the revelation of who Jesus really is just from listening to me or anyone else? You get a revelation of who Jesus is by spending time with Him. And the Father will reveal to you who He is to you. See, if you try to define God, and if you, let me just say it this way, if you can define your God, He's not big enough. God has to reveal Himself to you. Jesus says to Peter, He says, "Now, I say to you that you're Peter." Now, how many of you remember that when God says something, in fact, in Jesus, God the Son, says something, He's not saying it because He needs information from somebody else. He says, "You're Peter." Peter knew what his name was. Jesus had already changed his name from Simon to Peter. Now He says, "You're not Simon, the impetuous one. You're the Peter. You're the rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Listen to that. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And when Jesus builds the church, all the hell forces can come against it, but will never conquer it. So the world can say what they want and do it. We just need to keep letting God build through us. By faith, Noah built. I mean, you know, I'm only probably going to get to the first point of my sermon today. This is an important point. This is my second week on my introduction. He says, "I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock. "Upon this rock," the rock being Peter's statement that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And I'm not going to finish there, Jesus. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to give you the keys. Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church, but I'm giving you the keys." How many of you know that's a pretty good deal? Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church." Now, who's the church? Is the church the building? No. Church is people, redeemed by the blood, filled with the Spirit, that are meeting the needs of their world in Jesus' name. That's who the church is. Let me say it again. The church is people. It's not a building. It's not an entity. It's not a denomination. It's not the Lackawanna. The church is you. Sometimes people will come up to me, and I know what they mean, and I'm not picking on them. They'll come up and say, "You think the church could do this?" And I say, "Who is the church?" "Well, you mean the church checkbook or the church board or something?" The church is not the board. It's not the pastor. The church is you. You is it. When you say, "Will the church do it?" means you'll do it. Amen. We pull our resources in a thing called an offering. It's called money, but that's not the only resource the church needs. The church needs you. Needs you giving your gift away. Jesus said, "I'll build my church, but I'm giving you the keys." The church that gets the keys are the people who are the people that let Jesus build them into who He wants them to be. So the church is people. Redeemed by the blood. That means they're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've never been saved, you need to get saved today. You need to get right with God. It's key. And it can happen in a moment. You say, "What do I got to do? Do I have to like wear a tie or something?" No. I wear a tie for color. Doesn't match very well, but that's okay. I don't care. Thought the yellow shirt was a little bland without little color. Think somebody needs to be wearing a tie while the word's being preached? Sherman wears one for me about every week. So, sometimes I'll have it on sometimes. It's not about that. Not about how we dress. Is it? Redeemed by the blood. Filled with the Spirit. I believe every believer needs to be filled with the Spirit. and be being filled with the Spirit. It's an ongoing process. And listen, the church isn't complete. The definition is not complete until we're meeting the needs of the world in which we live in Jesus' name. Not in our name. We don't have to put our name on it. They put His name on it. Let me just tell you right now, too much of the Church of Jesus Christ in America today, reason why they're losing their touch on the world, because they're too busy putting their name on it, not Jesus' name on it. I want people to come here because I like people. And I want to have an influence with them through the Word of God. I want to be able to help them and grow them, teach them, walk through life with them, help them through the difficult. I want people to be here. I want to fill this building up several times every weekend. Wouldn't that be cool? But when it comes to touching the world I live in, it doesn't have anything primarily to do with New Beginning. It has everything to do with Jesus. He says, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not conquer it. Listen to me now. It says, I will give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are the keys? You got keys in your pocket for your car? My little thing broke, so I can't keep it on a key ring anymore. Kind of weird, isn't it? I go out to my Nissan. It's parked right out there in the front. I go in there. I put it in the door. Half the time I drop it on the ground. I have to get down out of my truck and pick it up. Ticks me off. I open my door, I get in, I stick this same key into the ignition, turn it, and guess what? It starts, and I can go anywhere I want to. If Diane gives me gas money. Keys of the kingdom. I got another key ring in my pocket. Not fancy, is it? I don't carry my key rings because I don't like them to get messed up. I got thousands of keychains, but I don't carry any of them. Because, you know, I've carried a couple and they got messed up. All my keychains are too special. So I just wear this little ring. Now this key has a key. I mean, the key ring has a key to my house. It has a key to the office back there where Jonathan and David's office is. It has a key to all the classroom doors. It has a key to my office and the other office. There's a key to my little shed out in the back. It's where all the good stuff is. Here's a key to the post office box. Here's a key to the church. And I don't know why in the world this suitcase key's on my key ring, but it's on there. That's the keys of the kingdom, mine. Where I live, where I walk, where I work, where everything I do, I have to have a key to get into it. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of God, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, or literally in the spirit world. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in the spirit world. And let me just tell you this. I'm not going to do this whole sermon, so don't worry. I'm almost done. Listen. You have the power in Jesus' name. If you're a believer, this is the power you have. Behind everything that happens, there's a spiritual entity, positive or negative, good or evil. Behind it is something spiritual. What you're facing is not the real thing, what you see right here. That's why I say all the time, if you can see it, it's not your enemy. Couples, listen to me. When you're having problems in your marriage, there's a reason you're having a problem in your marriage. There's an entity, an enemy, that's behind it, trying to force the issues so that you break apart. And that's when you need to come together all the more, because where two are agree touching anything, God's there. So instead of fighting each other, whom you can see, fight the powers behind it that you can't see together. Because God's given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, when you say, I bind that in Jesus' name, He's given you the authority to do that. It stops the spirit of darkness that's behind that. It stops their power right there. Isn't that amazing? That is like cool to me. That I have the ability, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm a part of the church. He said, I'm giving you the keys. You can bind it or you can loose it. When you don't have money in your pocket and you need money, I'm not talking about trying to get rich quick. I'm talking about you have lack in your life and you need money. Get your wallet out. I don't have mine with me. It's in my office. Get your wallet out. Stick your hand right inside that empty thing. And say, in Jesus' name, I have no lack. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I loose the spirit of prosperity on my family. Not the Tinseltown driving the Lincoln looking good stuff. The real prosperity. The Bible says that you prosper as your soul prospers. In other words, God, bring your life to me. Let my heart be right with you. And bring the resources I need for life. Stick your hand right in that empty wallet and say, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of poverty off my family. And I loose the spirit of freedom for finances to come and be blessed. And I can tell you, right in the middle of a recession, God will bless your pocketbook. I believe that. You know why I believe it? Because I've done it. One day I was listening. Diane and I were listening to Oral Roberts. This was years ago. Was it Oral Roberts? I think it was. And he said, we were poor. We were poor preachers, man. We're still not all that, you know, all that blessed. But compared to that, we're like millionaires, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, you know, God has really blessed us. And a lot of it comes through your faithfulness. And thank you very much for all that. I got a raise this year. And I told him no, and I said, no, don't give me a raise. And he did give me a raise anyway. That's your church board. Didn't deserve it, but I appreciate it. But we didn't have any money. I mean, we didn't have any money. And we needed money bad. I mean, I'm not talking about trying to get money to do fun stuff. I'm talking about living. And we were listening to Oral Roberts. And I'm not a big Oral Roberts fan. It's not like I'm old, man. Oral Roberts is the thing, right? But he made sense, and he said, I want you to take your wallet out of your pocket and stick your hand inside it. And I don't know why he made me do this, but he said, stick it on your forehead. I thought, this is the nuttiest thing. Wasn't all that unnutty for Noah to build a boat, was it? Stick it on your forehead. I stuck it on my forehead. And he said, now say, in Jesus' name, I have no lack. In Jesus' name, I have no lack. In Jesus' name, I have no lack. And that wasn't only just a confession of just some words. There was a lot of the Word of God behind it when he was teaching about it. And that week, I can't remember the amount of money came in, but it was like insurmountable, and it came from everywhere. I mean, Diane and I said, we couldn't believe it. I mean, checks came from people, checks came from things. Well, I don't even know where it all came from. But in Jesus' name, the lack that was in our life became freedom to be able to do what we needed to do and live, and I could stay in the ministry. And I'm here today because of that moment. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'd have quit a long time ago if I had to feed my family and the church couldn't do it. In Jesus' name, I have no lack. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches, not mine. Not according to the stimulus package. Listen to me now. My God shall supply. My God has given me the keys of the kingdom. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in the spirit world. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You say, well, Pastor Ron, you know, that's taken a lot. Yeah, you know? It's taken a lot. Jesus said it. I didn't. Amen. Then he sternly, at the end of it, he says, and then he sternly warned his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. I'm still working on that sermon I promised you a long time ago about the commandment Jesus made that nobody ever listened to. How many of you know the minute Jesus said, don't tell anybody, people went right out and told everybody. And so what I really need to do for an outreach program is I need to say, don't tell anybody. Maybe you won't listen to me, like Kenton said earlier, and you'll actually go out and do it. Is that what I need to do? You know what? When God works in your life, when he does something like he did for Diane and I in our finances, from that point on, you begin to find ways for God to work in your life. The Bible says, test me in this. Malachi 3, this isn't a money sermon. This isn't a giving sermon. I want you to be blessed. I'm trying to get the offerings bigger. Didn't even plan on talking about money. It just kind of came up. I mean, no, that's not why my sermons last so long, is because things just come up. But the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Bring it all. The average Christian in America gives less than 3%. Now, the last time I looked up tithe in the Bible, it meant tenth. And you know what? If you really want to be blessed, don't stop there. That's not the end. That's the beginning. It says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. He said, test me in this. Test me, Malachi chapter 3. Test me. Do it. Say, I don't have the money. That's when you need to do it. And he says, if you will, and you'll be faithful over time. It took 100 years for Noah to build the ark. He built an ark when people called him crazy. He built an ark in the middle of the stupid desert. There wasn't any water. It was going to rain. What's rain, they said. It never rained on the earth before. Everything was watered from underneath. Kept building the boat. By faith, Noah built. By faith, we give. And he says, look, here's what I'll do. If you'll do that and be faithful over time and build your finances around my kingdom, Jesus, God would tell us, then I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing where there's not room enough to hold it. That's not the end of the promise. That's a pretty good promise right there, don't you think? Can you imagine? If you give, he said, try me in this. Test me in this. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to hold it. Not only that, God says, I will rebuke the devourer. You know who the devourer is? It's the devil. But you know who it is? Devourer is the one who takes your money and causes it to go to seed and it doesn't have the impact it's supposed to have. See, when I believe in tithing. There's a lot of people teach it's not a New Testament concept. It is a New Testament concept. But I believe tithing is only the beginning of giving, not the end of giving. It's a place where people can start. Because most people say, I don't know how to do it. So God says, here, I'm going to give you a beginning place. You give a tenth. Tithe means tenth. Bring the tithe. And the devourer is the one who comes and takes your money and makes it not go as far. I'm constantly amazed at how much our money does in our finances. You know, sometimes I just think, we got to be broke now. And I'll say, Dad, you got any money? Yeah, we got money for that. Now, she's pretty good at keeping the books, and she does real good with the Dave Ramsey thing. We have financial peace. We're on the same page in our finances. But you know, it's amazing. We've been able to do some things in this last year that we've never been able to do before. Been able to pay people's way to stuff. We've been able to give money away. And it's like God is blessing us. The more we give, the more He blesses us. And what's happening is the money that we do have is going further. And I can tell you this by experience. 90% will go further than 100%. Now, I'm not a math teacher, but I have enough knowledge to know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense here. But God's Word says if you do it, He'll pour out the blessings of heaven upon you, and He'll cause the devourer to be rebuked so that He can't destroy your money. Amen. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. People freezing over here. God loves a cheerful giver. I think I might have turned that thing the wrong way. You want to check that? It'll be a meat locker in here in about 15 minutes. I better check. I got kind of freaked out by the speaker thing. Sorry. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I've given you the example of a cheerful giver. when I do that big thing where I turn around, like jump and turn the whole circle. Well, I don't do that today. God loves it when people go, yes! You get to give that today. You know, you don't give your pastor a heart attack, he'll die, you'll never have to worry about him again. Just walk in church some Sunday morning and go, man, I can't wait till the offering gets here. I'll have a heart attack, die, you'll never have to see him and put up with me long sermons ever again. Ever. Isn't that be good? Amen. You know, Diane fills out our tithe check each week. She puts it in an envelope and gives it to me. I can't wait till I'm holding it most of the time. Not because I think I'm going to forget or something. I'm excited about giving. Because every time I give, God blesses me back. The Bible says, Jesus said, with whatever measure you give, it'll be measured back to you again. So you want to give with a thimble? Then it's going to be measured back to you in thimbles. It might be 100-fold, but it's going to be 100 thimbles. You want to give with a bulldozer? It'll be given back to you with a bulldozer. Then you, yeah, that's right, Steve, you can give more. God wants to give you everything He gives you so He can give it to bless other people. It doesn't have to be in the offering. It can be in touching other people's lives. Let me say this about giving. Paul said to us that not only does God love a cheerful giver, but He loves a giver that doesn't give out of compulsion because the preacher got up and wrung your neck about it. I didn't plan to talk about giving today. I didn't. It's not in any of my sermon notes. But I want you to be blessed. Don't do it because somebody tells you ought to. Don't do it because somebody is compelling you to. Give from a heart that's generous. And then the God of the universe will bless your finances. Anybody in here want to be financially blessed? Do you? You know what? There's people in here that need new jobs. Not because the job they have is not that great, but because they need to make more money. Start giving like you want to receive that. Let's get past money a minute. Anybody want to see the Church of Jesus increase? You want to see New Beginning increase? It's not about giving more money now. It's about giving our life away. With the same measure you give, the same measure it'll be given back to you. Ken was referring to this earlier, and I'll finish with this. Not too many months ago, we were just struggling with not having very many children around here. And I said to our leadership team, I said, look, I want you to pray with me. I don't know if any of them did. But I prayed desperately for children to come, families with children. That's what I prayed for. And I prayed daily. And I fasted at times, and I prayed through my lunch hour for children, for families with children, to come to New Beginning Church. Now we're talking about having to have two nurseries. We don't need it every single week. But we do a lot, and we're going to need it every single week. Some people are having babies. Amen. We're going to have a toddler class, and we're going to have a nursery. We need some of you to work in that nursery. Give. It'll be given to you. We had a Sunday school teacher at the time who got so discouraged because she had prepared and nobody had come to Sunday school. I had 10 kids in that Sunday school class today. Not because I'm teaching it, because Jesus is answering the prayers. By faith, Noah built. Let's pray. Lord, I didn't get very far in this message you gave me. But I believe that you want to teach us how to enter the hall of faith as we hear you warn us about things that have never happened before. You were going to give us creative ways to reach our city, creative ways to reach one another, creative ways to participate as the Church of Jesus. And Father, I believe you right now that you, by your grace, are going to bless people in this congregation today. Those who have heard this message, take it to heart. Let you plant your word in their life and bring the fruit it deserves. Lord, you said that your word would never return void, and that it would fulfill the thing for which it was sent. And though I preached a lot of things today I didn't plan, I believe your Holy Spirit had me say them. Because there's some people in this church who are dealing with issues of lack. And in Jesus' name, they have no lack. Because our God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is El Shaddai, the God of plenty. He's more than enough. He'll meet all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I believe you today to begin to bless the families of this church as they begin to put the keys in the lock of living their life the way you said. Doing what your word says, searching it out, finding it, touching those areas where they can be blessed financially and spiritually and in their families, in their relationships and in their jobs and in every way. Now, I had no plans to do this today, but I'm gonna be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So would you be patient with me a few more minutes before we sing? I believe in my heart today that there's some people here that are dealing with some issues of lack in their life. It could be in finances, it could be in relationships, it could be in I don't know what, but you're just dealing with some issues of lack, and you just feel like you're fighting a battle and you just don't know if you're going to make it in this area, or you've been having a dream or a hope for something and you're just not seeing it yet. You need to see God give you a vision. Remember Jesus said to Peter, he said, it wasn't flesh and blood that told you who I was. My Father gave you a revelation of who I am. And if you today need a revelation of who Jesus is for your situation, and you're dealing with lack in your life, and you'd like prayer, as the worship team sings these songs that they've prepared for today, I'm going to be standing here, and Pastor Kent and Pastor John will come. We just want to pray for you, for your situation, that you'll be blessed, because God really does want to bless you. By faith, Noah built, and by faith, God will build your life. He'll give you the plan. And you'll have to walk in the plan, but you can do it. If you just need a point of contact here today in prayer, I'm going to ask you to, as Steve leads us in this song, just to come now. Well, I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you today. The pastors will come. We'll do that right here in the front. Sit over at the side today. We'll just come and stand along this front right here. God wants to touch you. Go ahead, Steve.